Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
The ABC's been running this pretty riveting series this month called Millionaire's Mission, and it follows eight self-made entrepreneurs from the UK who travelled to a remote Ugandan village, and they've each been given $30,000 to try and improve the living conditions there. Really interesting viewing. Mark Adley has also taken a look at it. Mark, hi.
Hey, buddy. How you going?
What a score for World Vision.
I thought that World Vision was being really brave in being involved in the series. It initiates from Channel 4 in Britain. And I think that they were actually being a bit humble too and saying, well, look, hey, you know, we've been doing charity this way for so long. Maybe someone will come up with some other ideas. And that's really helpful. Mm. But the program itself is just, as you say, a brilliant spin on reality television. A few weeks ago, we talked about Gordon Ramsay and probably what was all was worst about reality television. And this is really picking up all the best parts. It's kind of like Survivor, but everybody's a winner. You know, so you've basically got the same sort of mix, a diverse group of people from various backgrounds and socioeconomic sort of breaks who are coming in, and they're first world people being taken out and placed in a third world situation. Sounds remarkably, you know, familiar. And they're going to be, in many respects, uncomfortable, though I might add as an aside, I think their living conditions were heaps better than anybody had to endure on Survivor.
Yes.
But, you know, they weren't bunking out in the Hilton or anything like that. They were right there in a Ugandan village, bringing their particular problem that they had to solve inside of a time frame. And there it was. But we didn't have the one person competing against another. There wasn't any of the cynical, let's get these millionaires working on this project versus these. Even the way it was written was actually quite supportive. Some of the millionaires were working together on various ideas they had. And there was no sort of losers. The idea, in fact, they weren't even competing for a prize. Mm. The prize was for the sake of the Ugandan people. The Ugandan people would somehow come on.
And it was interesting what they came up with. So they came up with the Teach In Uganda Hotel, the Teach In, a potato farm?
Well, they had a potato storage thing, which is really kind of interesting because they were trying to break. Some of the millionaires said, look, you guys all sell your crop at the same time as everybody else, straight after harvest. Whereas if you can just hold on to it for 3 months, change the cycle, then when everybody else is running out of potatoes, the price is going to be higher, you sell your stuff then. So they basically built them a barn, you know, to keep their potatoes in. There was a basket weaving project and trying to get the baskets out to sort of better markets rather than just using them around the village. You know, there were projects to do with local hospitals and ambulance services and things like that. So they were all geared towards the one goal of sustainable development. Not simply can we give you something now that will make you happy, kind of like the backyard blitz, let's go in, change it. Yeah. But I mean, I've worked in television for many years. And so some of the stories that go around the traps about what happens to some of those homes or gardens. I use backyard blitz as a generic term, not specifically the program. But those sorts of jobs often have to be gone back and fixed or repaired because you're not supposed to do work like that in 24 hours. You know, cement's not cured properly. Things like that go wrong. Whereas this one, they're basically saying, look, let's try and set something up which will change not only this day or this week, but this community's future.
Wasn't it interesting, though, the meeting of cultures when you have these very rich, I think they say a combined worth of $1.3 billion. These entrepreneurs that go in there and then they
interestingly,
come from
the... Interestingly, it wasn't their money that they were spending on this project. I'll leave that aside. We'll move on.
And they go into this thing and, you know, they're from the fast living London scene and etc. And so some of them struggle a little bit with that, with the fact that Uganda is a totally different culture, do not operate on the same kind of clock.
One might suggest that the whole idea of African time came as a real shock to some of the people involved. This is probably, you know, if we looked at some of the problems associated with it, if we had to go that far, we'd say, well, look, there were a couple of assumptions behind the program. Firstly, can money fix a problem?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I think that was, they were well aware that many people thought that, and so some of the millionaires were caught thinking it too when they turned up, and they said, right, well, you know, classic case, Shahid was this Indian businessman, you know, who worked in IT. He saw that the local ambulance was broken down, so he said, you need a new ambulance. I'll provide you a new ambulance. There's the new ambulance. Later, it comes back 3 months later, and it's not working. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not being maintained by anybody.
It was the wrong ambulance, wasn't it? It was the wrong car.
It was the wrong car had been delivered, the wrong part. that's the wrong everything. Yes. Likewise, electricity put into a local hospital, no one paying the bills, and so they come back, they turn the switches on and off.
It's still not working.
It's not doing anything. It doesn't change life at all. So not understanding the culture made a big, you know, problem of even some of the solutions, you know, and that was a real trouble. I think also the idea that my solution equals your solution. So again, the program subtly is built around the idea of if we take people who can generate $1.3 billion in the UK and drop them in Uganda, then surely they can somehow lift up, you know, the poor people in Uganda, sort of raise their standards. But it doesn't really follow that because you know how to negotiate a bear market in the UK, that you will somehow be able to understand, you know, the farming pressures in Uganda. Or and one of the things that counted against the program, and I, by the way, I really think this is a good program. I actually think that one of the problems of the program was the whole idea of the time limit. That was one of the things they could have jettisoned out of the whole reality television thing. Because why try and change the world in 3 weeks or four weeks? How arbitrary is that?
It's constant, isn't it? I mean, one of the shows that my wife loves is Time Team, a bunch of archaeologists that get together and basically dig up the whole of London, it seems, to find some amazing relics. But they've always got this two-day time. And we're going, why? Why? Just keep on doing it. But same thing. It's almost the reality TV genre has to have a time limit. So
well, it's
pressure.
True. That, look, the pressure, what television producers are looking for is in fact emotion and conflict. These are the things that make for interesting watching. And if you, one easy way of doing that is to, you know, tighten the screws with a time limit. People get tired, they start to lose focus, they get worried, and then anxieties rise. And this is the one thing that this project could have done without. Now, I suspect that it had more to do with the fact that the millionaires only had a certain amount of time they could devote to this project because they have their multi-million dollar empires, you know, to oversee. Now, I'm not going to hit them for that, but it does raise the question about the nature of charity. Charity in the Western world is often considered more along the lines of, oh, somebody tells me there's a need, and so I look in my pocket and I calculate all of the things that I have to do, and then maybe a little bit extra for the things I might not be aware of, and then I think, well, you know, I can spare $20, or maybe I can spare $30 or $50. But the process is always looking more at the, what are my resources versus the problem, rather than a sort of a Christian concept of charity is much more the other way around. It's saying, what's the problem? Now let's go and fix it. Charity in a Christian context is always expensive. And I don't mean in certain dollars, because a person doesn't put time limits on themselves. They don't. They see the person. In fact, if you look at the ultimate Christian example of charity, Christ doesn't go, well, listen, I'm prepared to come down and live for 30 years with you and do a lot of good teaching and things like that. But if you can't get your act together, you know, after that, that's it, I'm out of here. You know, he goes to the cross and he dies. You know, this is, there is no end to the you know, to his giving, and he will give to the point where it costs him everything. And this is the concept of charity, which is a very hard thing to live up to. And when you consider the scale of the problem, this is just 8 millionaires who turned up in Uganda for a matter of weeks.
In one village,
in one country. And, you know, maybe they'll make a difference. We hope one of the projects, maybe two or three of the 10 or so projects they did, will take off. But if you extrapolate that out to the rest of Uganda and the rest of Africa and the rest of the third world, in fact, the problems that are in the first world and so forth, you realize that we are just not adequate. Now, I know there are some hopeful souls out there who think if we all gave as best as we could deal with the problem. But I actually think the problem is bigger than that, because the problem is also with us. You know, if we don't have the right heart all of the time, we're not going to solve this problem. And that, to me, you know, is the big issue. When you come into it, how do you solve it? You need to work on people. You need to come up with a solution to the problem with people. You know, and then hopefully this will fold out to the rest of the problems in the world as well.
Well, a very fascinating combination of entrepreneurial activity, world need, and yes, the lessons that come when those two are brought together. And the website for World Vision, by the way, worldvision.com.au/millionaires, if you want to go back and see some of the segments on it. Mark, thank you.
No worries, buddy.
As always, appreciate your work. Mark Adley from Anglican Media, christianity.net.au for more of his works too.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.